Our country is caught up in bitter partisan conflict over issues that divide lawmakers, that divide communities, and even families sharing a meal at the holidays. But once a party keeps control of state politics for years and years, what happens to that state? We're looking at how the Republican resurgence has influenced policies in states across the country and at home right here in Wisconsin. So what do you think were Republicans' major policy accomplishments under Governor Walker? How do you think Republicans under Walker changed state policy and it affected your life? Join in 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Matt Grossman is an associate professor of political science at Michigan State University. He directs the university's Institute for Public Policy and Social Research, and his new book is called Red State Blues: How the Conservative Revolution Stalled in the States. Matt, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
So we're going to hone in on how Republican control of state governments have affected policy and have affected people. But before we get to all that policy, can you explain how party control of states has changed in the recent decades?
Sure. Republicans have been on quite an electoral run since the early 1990s until last year's elections when the Democrats made some reversals. They went from controlling three states, meaning they had the governor's office and both chambers of the legislature, to controlling 26. They also moved from controlling about 40% of the average state legislative chamber to about 60%. They did that at a time when they were moving rightward ideologically. So there really has been a conservative revolution in the states from the early 1990s until the 2010s.
And Democrats, they made gains, as you said, in elections last year and this year in Wisconsin and nationwide. Did that make up for their losses to Republicans in previous years?
It made up for the losses in 2014 election, roughly. Mm-hmm. It did not make up for the huge losses Democrats suffered in the 1994 election or the 2010 election. And so the trend is reversing. We may have seen a sort of high point of Republican control, but Democrats have by no means made up the grounds that they have lost.
Okay, so in the snapshot of time you're looking at, 1991-ish to 2018, Republicans taking control of a lot of state governments, what were some of their major achievements? What are their milestones?
Well, the biggest policy changes have been in social issue areas and in labor policy. They have changed abortion and gun laws in every state that they have been elected in. I should say that Democrats have done the same in states where they gained full control. So it's not that Republicans were the only ones moving there. But immigration laws have recently changed, even though we think of that as a federal responsibility, and they have been polarizing in the states. We, of course, saw labor policy change in Wisconsin and in Michigan and in other states. That's the one sort of economic issue where we saw the most change. Where we saw the least change was in sort of the overall size and scope of government. So over that same period, median state spending doubled, accounting for inflation, and is still concentrated in more Democratic-supported areas like health and education.
So in the things that the Republicans had campaigned on, like small government, you know, actually achieving small government is not what you're really seeing there.
Right. And it's a worldwide pattern that government is more likely to grow in size and scope over time than to contract. And it's not to say that Republicans had no impact. They did slow the growth of government slightly in the states that they controlled relative to the states that Democrats controlled. But if we were to take their word for this wider agenda of scaling back government, either in its spending or its regulation, that really didn't happen in the states over this period.
When you look at Wisconsin specifically, what would you consider some of Republicans' major policy accomplishments under Governor Walker?
Well, I think you have to look at public employee labor, unionization, overall union and labor policy changed fairly dramatically in Wisconsin. So it's not your listeners' imagination that Wisconsin saw rightward moves. It was one of the largest moves in the states. One of the points that I make is that what enabled that is that Wisconsin actually started as a pretty liberal economic policy state. By most of the measures, it was in the top 10 of the most liberal economic policy states at the beginning of this period, even after having Republicans in charge for a large part of the prior period as well. And so Republicans had more of an opportunity to shift policy in a state like Wisconsin than they did in, say, the southern states where they gained control in already relatively conservative states.
The book is called Red State Blues. Michigan State political scientist Matt Grossman stays with us. You can join in 800-642-1234. We'll continue this conversation with Matt Grossman. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're looking at the consequences of partisan governance and Republican policy over decades. So can the party in power completely shift the role of government through longtime Republican control? Michigan State political scientist Matt Grossman writes, Wisconsin is still well to the left of the average state on social issues and economic policy, remaining, though, the 14th most liberal state on economics. So do you see a juxtaposition there in Wisconsin with socially liberal policy but under Republican control for years? What questions do you have about Republican policies? Join in 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Matt Grossman's new book is called Red State Blues. So, Matt, you really push against this notion that Wisconsin Republicans overstepped the state's public when they passed these conservative goals like right to work and collective bargaining laws. Why do you take that stance?
Well, the main evidence that I look at is from Devin Coey and Chris Warshaw, two other professors who have tracked the relative liberalism of state public opinion and state policy. And the point I make is that Wisconsin is a pretty average state in terms of public opinion. That is, it's sort of in the middle of liberalism and conservatism on both social issues and economic policy. On policy, it has moved rightward on economic policy, but it started from a relatively liberal level. So conservatives in Wisconsin, I think, are correct to say that they were moving a state that was relatively liberal closer to the median state, which is about where public opinion has maintained itself in Wisconsin. Public opinion also moved rightward at the same time, right before Republicans moved policy rightward. Now, I should separate that from the direct response to policymaking. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty universal pattern that policy, when policy moves, public opinion reacts in the other direction. So we often think, I'm going to get in power, pass policy, everybody's going to love what I do when I carry out my promises. But the universal, near universal pattern is actually the opposite. The more that politicians push policy to the left or the right, the more the public opinion moves in the other direction. So public opinion was moving conservative under President Obama and is now moving liberal under President Trump. So you can still see a backlash, as I think you did under Scott Walker to some extent. But that doesn't necessarily mean that public opinion is now more liberal than policy in the state. We don't see evidence of that.
So size us up in comparison to other states. You know, why were Wisconsin Republicans more successful than when you look at our peers in other states?
Well, the easiest way to look at it is that Republicans made all kinds of gains in the South and the broader South, states like Missouri and Oklahoma, Kentucky and Tennessee. And in those states, they came into power in already relatively conservative governments. So there wasn't as much sort of easy low-hanging fruit policies to change as there was in the Midwest. But there is also a danger when you're changing a lot of policy that there's going to be a backlash. And we saw that to some extent in Wisconsin, not as great of an extent as, say, a state like Kansas, where Governor Sam Brownback really tried to change core policy overall in the size and scope of government. He dramatically cut taxes. And in state governments, that shows up in cuts to local education and health funding that people notice and react to very strongly. And as a result, Kansas backtracked even under Republicans on many of those policies and then elected a Democratic governor, just like Wisconsin last time.
So did the failures in Kansas influence what Republicans attempted elsewhere in other states?
I think they did. I think few sort of attempted the broad move rightward on taxes and spending, in part because they saw the results in Kansas. We also had a series of teacher walkouts and threatened teacher walkouts, of course, across the states. And the interesting pattern there is that all of those red states that had those teacher walkouts actually changed policy back in a more pro-teacher spending liberal direction in response to those protests and the backlash associated with slowing education spending.
Matt Grossman's new book is called Red State Blues. He's a Michigan State University political scientist. You can join in. Do you think Republicans have made marked changes in Wisconsin and elsewhere? Share your insights, 800-642-1234. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about what happens to policies in states that retain Republican control for years. And look no further in this case study than Wisconsin. Governor Scott Walker won three races for governor, two general elections, and a recall. What do you think were Republicans' major policy accomplishments under Governor Walker's tenure? How do you think Republicans changed state policy? Join in, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Matt Grossman is a Michigan State University political scientist, and his new book is called Red State Blues, How the Conservative Revolution Stalled in the States. Let's bring in a call now. Janet is joining us from the village of North Fond du Lac. Hi, Janet.
Hi. I realize your time is limited, so please have this subject matter and have this guest again when there's more time.
Will do, Janet. Yeah.
Thank you. I'll mention four subject matters. Mitch McConnell 10 years ago vowed, and I saw this on PBS TV, and I recorded it. And he vowed when something happened with their choice for Supreme Court with Obama.
Well, wait a minute here, Janet. I want to pause here on Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Matt Grossman, what impact have the courts made? And as you look at the impact of Senator McConnell on national politics?
So McConnell, as Janet mentioned, embodies one part of Republican leadership, which is a pretty strong emphasis on using the rules to benefit the party. And that pattern has also played out in the states where Republicans have been quite successful in staying in power, in part through redistricting efforts, in part through trying to change change the composition of the electorate, in part through, as you saw in Wisconsin, trying to limit the powers of the governor when the governor is a Democrat and increase their powers when they are a Republican. So that trend goes to the states as well. In terms of the federal government, one difficulty that Republicans have had in the states is that federal policy and state policy are often moving in opposite directions. The midterm elections tend to have a backlash against the incumbent president, as we saw against Trump this time. And what that means is that Republicans came to power, made their biggest gains in the 1994 and 2010 elections, right after Democrats had moved policy leftward at the national level, often incentivizing states to go along with them. So, of course, Medicaid expansion is the big example here. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, that was a big success of Republicans in blocking that in about 14 states. On the other hand, 36 states doubled the size of their largest state program in response to a proposal from the Obama administration. So I think the federal government's moving in a liberal direction when conservatives gain power has been a block on Republicans' ability to shift policy in the states.
Janet, thanks for the call. Let's bring in Richard now in Milwaukee with thoughts on this. Hi, Richard.
Hello. Hello.
Hi.
I am on a similar topic to the last speaker and had some of the same ideas she did. The question that I have is, will the Republicans regularly changing of laws about voting and about powers of elected officials actually, because they want to hold on to power, actually retired democracy in the United States? I have great fear of the loss of the opportunity for voters to change their mind and vote. And we see this in Wisconsin, where the total number of votes for the state legislature is overwhelmingly Democratic, and the result is over, because of the redistricting,
so let's,
overwhelmingly Republican.
Yeah, Richard, thank you so much. What is the impact, Matt Grossman, with redistricting and election law?
Well, definitely the party in power, and that has been the Republicans under the last few redistricting cycles in most states, does draw the districts to benefit themselves, and that has meant pretty severe, in some cases, differences between the total votes cast, as Richard said, and the seats gained in state legislatures. That's made easier by Democrats increasing concentration in cities where it's easier to kind of pack their votes into a few districts. That does make a difference. The voting rules, there's mixed evidence as to whether as to how much they have mattered for partisan gains. One difference there is that voting rules are still liberalizing across states. So there's more early voting. Registration is easier over these same periods when Republicans have been passing some laws that some would say are designed to limit the franchise. There are still some trends in the direction of making it easier to vote, but certainly redistricting has helped Republicans retain power, even as voters have moved leftward in some recent elections.
Did you find, Matt Grossman, that when Republicans take control over years and years, are the policy changes, do they build up over time? Are there a lot right away? What is the tempo of policy and of change through a tenure?
Well, it's pretty slow. One indicator is that if you try to look at the ideal policy positions of the Republicans and the Democrats in states. An average year in power, they're able to move policy about 1% in the direction of their preferred policies from the point of view of the other political party. So that's real change, but it's limited, far more limited than you might expect if you, say, heard a gubernatorial debate and heard each of the parties lay out all of their policy items. You can think about it as, you know, they get about sort of 1% of those in an average year, which isn't insignificant, but is maybe less than it sounds on the campaign trail. Another piece that we haven't talked much about is the actual impact of these policies, and in part because the parties are not able to completely transform policies in their states, it also ends up being hard to show actual impact in terms of big variables like economic growth or job growth or inequality in the states. It's actually really hard to show any impact of Republican gains in the states on those kinds of broad socioeconomic indicators. We can show individual policies like right to work, reducing unionization slightly in a state. But if you kind of add it all up, there's not great evidence that Republican or Democratic control actually moves the needle on these basic quality of life indicators in the states.
We're talking with Matt Grossman. He is a Michigan State University political scientist, and his new book is called Red State Blues. Still time for your thoughts. What policy yields have increases in Republican control of state governments enabled? What can you point to? We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. So, Matt, when you see on election night a big map and you see a clusters of red and blue states, I'm wondering, you know, at the end of the day in your research, do these colors matter that much, you know, that much when policy doesn't change so much?
Well, they do matter, and they matter increasingly. So partisan control of the states used to make almost no difference in policy differences across the states because we had some liberal Republicans and conservative Democrats. Now it really does make a difference, and it's a measurable influence. I don't think it's going to change the quality of life in a state as much as one party might hope or fear, but it does make a difference. I would, though, say that people should also look to these bipartisan trends or nonpartisan trends. Every state sort of moved in a tough-on-crime, punitive criminal justice direction in the 90s, and nearly every state is moving in a less punitive criminal justice direction in the 2010s. We saw one area of conservative policymaking in the states was education choice, like charter schools and vouchers. Those were a bipartisan initiative across the states for a while, but are now facing some blocks and backlashes associated with the teacher walkouts. So sometimes these patterns of policy change really do change, but they don't change necessarily just in response to partisan control. Most state laws still pass with bipartisan support. Same is true at the federal level. It's just the ones that we hear about are those ones that divide the parties.
So as we wrap up here, do you expect to see limited change with newly in-control Democrats like you've seen with Republican-controlled state governments?
Well, Democrats have found it easier to sort of slowly move incrementally toward liberal ideas than the opposite for Republicans. Incremental conservative change is harder, especially, you know, easier in the kind of size and scope of government domain where, you know, you can increase funding for education, maybe expand early childhood education as most states are doing at the moment. Those are kind of easier to achieve. It's much harder when you get to these sort of big, large-scale policy changes where you get the same problems that Republicans run into. The state interest groups are against it. The public reacts in the other direction. And so we should expect real changes in states like Virginia where Democrats gain control. But we shouldn't expect the sort of large-scale vision on the campaign trail to really mean a transformation of government and the life of the state.
Matt, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Matt Grossman is a Michigan State University political scientist. His new book is called Red State Blues, How the Conservative Revolution Stalled in the States. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.